Good morning. Welcome to Campbell Bible Church. It's a pleasure to be able to get into God's Word here this morning with you. Today we are in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, we are going to be looking at Jesus in the wilderness. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and God used this time to prepare Jesus for his ministry. Look with me here, starting at verse 1 of Matthew chapter 4. It says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterwards, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' But Jesus answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.' And Jesus said to him, 'It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.' Now again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.' Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him." Lord, Heavenly Father, I pray for this time that we have in your word. I pray, Lord God, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, help us to understand your word. And I pray, Lord, today that we would finish this lesson today being strengthened by your word, understanding you a little bit more, and being thankful for the opportunity to love you, to honor you, and to serve you with our lives. In your name, I pray these things. Amen. All right, so here we see that Jesus is in a wilderness. Now, the wilderness is an untamed land that one can easily get lost in. It's a place of hardship where wild animals and danger roam. It's a place that is not synonymous with peace, tranquility, and happiness. And when people go on vacation, they don't go into the wilderness idea. I mean, sometimes they go backpacking and such like that, but it's not the idea. The idea of going and getting lost inside of a wilderness is a scary proposition. The wilderness has been a place of testing and a place that God uses to prepare people for what is to come. Now, those who experience the wilderness are there to learn to put their trust in God regardless of the obstacle that comes their way. Now, through many scriptural examples, we see people who were literally in a wilderness, but still being cared for by our great God. Abraham was tested in the wilderness in Genesis chapter 22. He was instructed to travel to a mount in the land of Moriah to sacrifice his son Isaac on an altar to God. Now God was testing Abraham's faithfulness, and before Abraham could comply, God stopped him and provided an animal for the sacrifice instead. Jacob was tested in the wilderness in Genesis chapter 32 when he literally wrestled with God in the form of a man. Moses was tested in the wilderness for 40 years in Exodus chapter 2. God made him a shepherd, pushing and guiding sheep around the wilderness for 40 years in his preparation for doing the same with the children of Israel. David was tested in the wilderness in 1 Samuel chapter 23. He and the men that he commanded was hiding from Saul for a period of time. If you remember, Saul would get angry and want him dead. Now, God continued to protect David and his men over and over again, and David really learned to trust God in the wilderness. Elijah was tested in the wilderness in 1 Kings chapter 19. He was afraid and was running from trouble instead of trusting in God. He was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and through his journey, God taught Elijah to trust in him. Paul describes his journeys through the wilderness in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul had many different moments in his life that God used to test him, to prepare him, to make him more like Jesus Christ, more able to stand for the truth when no one else was able. Now, many of these examples in Scripture People were actually in a wilderness. Many of them were all alone. Now today, there are times when God directs us to unfamiliar territory. Not always in the wilderness. Many of us are not taken out to an area in the middle of nowhere, left without food or water for a time. But God does bring these wildernesses, these unfamiliar territories to us, places where we seek comfort, but instead we go through trials and testing in order to make us stronger. Now, in order to make us more faithful, in order to teach us to rely on God and not back down. Now, some call it a wilderness experience, but whatever you refer to it as, it is there not to harm you, but to make you more like Jesus. Being in the wilderness is to be in a place where we are learning to rely on the Lord, to rest in Him, to be still and listen for His direction, to learn to trust Him no matter what, to learn humility, and to let Him lead the way. There are many, many things that God uses these times to teach us. I think of Jonah. Jonah's wilderness experience was a little bit different. It was in the belly of a great fish for 3 days. God taught Jonah humility during those scary days. He taught him humility and He taught him trust. Now, typically, when we are in the wilderness, we are fighting ourselves. We are fighting our wills. We are battling against our natural desires to do what we want over what God wants. We are battling with a desire to give up or run in the opposite direction like Jonah did. But this isn't just a test that if we pass, we are given a passing grade. This test is there to make us better, to prove to us that we can always trust in the God of the Bible. When we are being tested, this is when we are most vulnerable to fall into sin. When we are not in the place that we want to be, our natural reaction is unhappiness and frustration. And it's during these times that Satan tempts us the most. He wants us to be unhappy. He wants us to be uprooted from the Lord. He wants us to abandon God and follow our natural fleshly desires. We have all heard the phrase, misery loves company. Well, the devil wants to bring as many people as he can to his side. He wants to hurt God, and he cannot. And this makes him angry. He doesn't have the power to hurt God. So instead, he will work to pull away the people that God loves and does that through temptation. Now let's take a moment and talk about temptation. Temptation is the desire to do something wrong or unwise. Temptation is the desire to do something wrong or unwise. Temptation itself is not a sin, but temptation can lead to sin. James chapter 1 and verse 14 says, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed." Now, temptation involves our will. We are only tempted by something that we would like, something that would entice us. If you think about it, for most children today, just using a funny analogy here, most children today are not tempted by vegetables. You know, they see broccoli on the plate and they're just like, I have no desire to eat that. So their natural inclination is not to want it. They will not be tempted by vegetables. And there are many adults today, myself included, that when I look at many vegetables, I'm like, I just really don't want this. I mean, I'll eat it because I know it's healthy for me, but I really don't want it. My natural desire is not to want it. Now you pull out cake, cupcakes, you know, chocolate cake, whatever your favorite flavor is, and suddenly we will see the spark of temptation. The temptation to eat too much cake, in fact, is often there. Now look through the news of the day and you will see story after story after story of people who were tempted to do something wrong. And they fell to that temptation and sinned because they saw something that they wanted. It could be anything, not just a desire to want something delicious to eat. It could be a desire to do something wrong, something unwise. And we see this over and over again. Think of David when he was king. He was supposed to be with his army in battle, but instead he was at the palace on a night where it was typical that people would be bathing on the rooftops because it was warmer. He knew what was coming. He was tempted to stay home from battle, but he was, as James 1:14 says, drawn away by his own desires and enticed. He was tempted to look out at those who may be bathing on the rooftops, and he was drawn away by his own desires and enticed. When he saw Bathsheba, he was tempted to continue to look instead of turning away, and he was drawn away by his own desires and enticed. When he was tempted to send a palace servant to bring her to him so that he could have his way with her, he was drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And when he was tempted to take her as his own wife and kill her husband, he was drawn away by his own desires and enticed. David was tempted by something that he desired, and he fell to the temptation of his will. And that is when his temptation became sin. Again, James chapter 1, but in verse 15, it says, "Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death." Now, all of mankind faces temptation. And again, temptation itself is not a sin. It's when we fall to that temptation that it becomes sin. The only one who cannot be tempted is God. James chapter 1 and verse 13 says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." Now, Jesus, when he was on the earth, when he came as a man, he did not fall to temptation. In fact, we see here that he overcame it. James chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, "Blessed is a man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Now, many times we are in the wilderness today. So how do we navigate the wilderness and still learn what God is trying to teach us? How do we stay away from the temptations of our flesh and not fall to our sin? Well, Jesus showed us the way. Now, let's look back at our text this morning and see if we cannot dig out what Jesus is teaching us by example. Look with me again at Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' But Jesus answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" So we see here that Jesus is hungry. He hasn't eaten anything for 40 days and 40 nights. Of course he's hungry. Now, this means that he's vulnerable. He's in want of something. Satan uses this opportunity, this opportune moment to tempt Jesus, because Jesus is in a time of desire. God sent Jesus through the guidance of the Holy Spirit into the wilderness and offered no food. So Jesus went without and fasted for 40 days. And he spent time being prepared to go without while praying and talking with God throughout. Now, Satan tempts Jesus to break away from his humanity and use the power of God to transform stones into bread. And Jesus, however, fought Satan back, and he fought with the same spiritual weapons of warfare that we have today. He responded by using the word of God. Jesus quotes Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3 to fight Satan back. Now, Jesus points out here that God's word is our spiritual food, and his spiritual food is even more important than our physical food. I believe there is another important lesson here. God had not provided the food yet. Jesus could have provided for his own needs, but then he would be providing for himself outside of the will of God. And we all too often do that. We pray about a need or a want. When God doesn't answer the way that we want, we take matters into our own hands. Now, God did not provide the physical food, but he did provide the spiritual food. Jesus may not have had a full belly, but he did have what he needed in order to have victory in his spiritual battle. Well, let's look again at our text. Look with me starting at verse 5. Then the devil took Jesus up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Now again, Satan is working to tempt Jesus to prove that he is a son of God by using God's power to call angels to him to protect him when he jumps off the high pinnacle. Now something interesting here is Satan's tactics. Jesus quoted scripture. The fact that Jesus quoted scripture here and said that he lived by scripture. We see here that Satan then, he goes ahead and he quotes scripture as well in order to support his claim. Now in this, Satan quoted Psalm chapter 91, verses 11 through 12. Now look again, how does Jesus respond? He again quotes scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 6. All right, let's look a little further. Look with me at verse 8 through 11. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to Jesus, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Now, Satan wants to be worshipped. He desires most to dethrone God and take his place. He wants worship from all. And again, how does Jesus fight back? By using God's word. And here he again quotes from the book of Deuteronomy. Now understand, the quoting God's word, it's not like a mantra, okay? It's not some kind of magic that accomplishes something in the way that you say it. Quoting God's word is the faith behind his word that compels us to do right. And it is the truth of God's word that fights back our enemy. Now, if Jesus needed to know God's word and he was God in the flesh, he was perfect, whereas we are imperfect. And yet again, if he needed it, think of how much more that we need it. Jesus knew God's word because he had taken the time to know it. To get to know it, to read it, to study it, to memorize it, and so should we. It's very important that we are people of God's word, that we take the time to read it, to study it, to meditate it, to memorize it, to learn it, and to apply it. We can never fight our battles and pull something out of our heart or out of our mind that's not there already. God can direct us to a portion in the word, in his scriptures, but he's not going to bring a verse to mind that we've never heard of because we've never studied it. It's important that we hide these things in our hearts. Jesus's word, God's word, is to light our path of life. It's important for us to know it, to learn it, to apply it to our lives. Something else that you will notice from the account of Jesus in the wilderness, as well as all the other accounts that we have discussed today, is that God was watching the whole time. Everyone survived their wilderness experience. Now, their transition from their natural self into someone who is more Christ-like may have hurt. It may have even caused some emotional turmoil, but they survived because God was watching and caring for them. And again, their time in the wilderness was not to harm them, but to teach them, to make them more humble, more flexible, more focused on the will of God over their own desires. Now, God watched them, He cared for them, and He still continued to work in their lives to prepare them for what they would face next. Now, I think that identifying that Jesus is tempted is a great attribute of Jesus, because it's showing that Jesus really is a man. Because God cannot be tempted to sin, only mankind can be tempted to sin. And this shows Jesus' humanity. And you know what? It also gives us hope. Because Jesus fought the temptations, and so can we. If we fight the way that Jesus fought, we definitely have the opportunity to fight and win our battles. Now, after Jesus fought back Satan three times, and there was no hope that Satan was going to change Jesus' mind, what happened? Satan left. When there was confidence and strength and faith and trust in God, Satan took off. There was no point for him to hang around, because you cannot convince a heart to do evil whose mind is fixed on God. Let me say that one more time. It's very important. You cannot convince a heart to do evil whose mind is fixed on God. You want to stay away from evil things? Keep your mind fixed on God. Now, in the parallel passage to this one in Luke, Luke identifies something very important in the last verse of this section. Luke chapter 4 and verse 13, he says, "Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from Jesus until an opportune time." Now, when we go into spiritual battle against the enemy, when we fight with the right tools, we too can have victory. But that does not mean that all of our battles are over. It simply means that we won that particular skirmish, and Satan will be back, and he will be ready to strike at the most opportune time, when we've let our guard down, when we've taken our eyes off of God. It's important for us to do whatever it takes to keep our mind fixed on God. We will see through our study that Jesus does have more times when he is tempted by Satan, but we too have many battles against the enemy. When we have victory, we need to rejoice, and then we need to prepare for the next battle, because it's coming. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, speaking of God, it says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." He trusts in you. God is going to keep us in perfect peace when our minds are fixed on him, because we will trust in him. Now, we can have victory in our spiritual battles, but we have to do it Jesus's way. We must keep our mind fixed on the Lord and not on our own wants and desires. We must keep an open channel of prayer to the Lord, always open. And we must know God's word if we are going to use the sword of the Spirit to fight back the enemy. Knowing God's word and putting it into practice in our lives makes a world of difference. So yes, Jesus was tempted, but he never felt a sin. Instead, he had victory over it, and he paved the way for us to follow. Do you want victory over sin today? Follow Jesus' example. Fight sin back with God's word. Build on your prayer life. Pray, 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 pray. Focus your prayers to the Lord. The Bible verse that tells us to keep on praying. Pray without ceasing. It's a continual open door, open channel to the Lord at all times. Keep on praying. Study God's word and keep your eyes fixed on God, and you will be able to fight those battles. You will be able to win those battles just like Jesus. Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that we've had around your word. I pray, Lord, that you would help us this week to set aside whatever things are in our lives that are keeping us from winning the battle. I pray, Lord, that we would take the appropriate amount of time that we need in our lives to prayer. to studying our Bible, to meditating on God's Word, to memorizing it. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that you would help us to keep our eyes and our mind fixed on you. I pray that you would prepare us for the next battle. Lord Jesus, give us confidence and strength today as we fight against the enemy, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us not to give up. In your name, I pray these things. Amen.